Hello and welcome to the latest edition of He Said, She Said. I'm Michelle Todd Schorsch.
And this is Peter Schorsch.
And we are kind of excited to present a very special standalone episode of He Said, She Said to you today.
I'm a big geek and this is like a dream come true. We got to do a media preview of the new Disney expansion park, Galaxy's Edge.
And I would say it's probably an even bigger dream come true for me because I was born and raised a Disney baby. I grew up in a Disney house with an entire Disney room with the biggest Disney fan there ever was and my father. And so to be able to preview the largest expansion in Disney history of a theme park, Galaxy's Edge was a $1 billion investment. And so it's the single largest expansion in Disney history into a single amusement park. It was amazing for me. It's mind-blowing that we even got the invite.
It was cool, number one, that you and I are now, you know, as a team that we're media. It was a great experience getting our first bit of swag as like a media outlet, our first like media passes.
It
as
was
a media
really outlet. Different for me to be able to accept swag. I used to get to do a lot of cool stuff, but in the governor's office, no way could I accept swag. I couldn't even accept a soda.
Well, now you are part of you're on the other side.
Yeah.
Disney. You got Disney. Loaded up on the bus.
Disney, like, please give me free hotel rooms at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, that was kind of, they took good care of the media. It was fun. Just to be honest, seeing the media that was there, like I remember at one moment there was Ryan from IMDb.com. I did not know that they consider themselves like a news outlet. And so
I had no idea. I can't wait to watch Ryan's coverage though, because he was really excited in front of the Millennium Falcon.
There were a lot of like it was
I may have accidentally gotten in a shot. Sorry, Ryan.
The line between media and fanboy, fangirl was very thin.
There were so many TV reporters who were in their mouse ears and their
yes
bad Star Wars Mickey Mouse t-shirts. It was amazing to see. It was fun, too. It was fun to see a lot of people enjoying each other. We largely are working in a more serious topic area, so it was nice just to be doing something so lighthearted and fun. So, and yes, for those of you wondering, we did eventually tell Ella Joyce where we went, and we actually went back and picked her up for day two.
Yeah, you're going to hear that it was kind of interesting how the whole thing came about. By the way, we are taping this right now as we're watching the hurricane forecast as Dorian continues to batter the Bahamas. It's actually a good time for a podcast like this because politics is on hold for the most part this week, as all of our elected officials, you know, prepare and respond to the hurricane.
And I want to say our friend Chevron Jones has family in the Bahamas. He's been posting great updates. And if you're looking for places how to help our friends in the Bahamas, he's going to be sharing some great spots and he'll be a good source of making sure that you're going to actual aid relief, not just someone scamming people online.
All right. So we did 2 days at Galaxy's Edge. So this is going to be a little bit of a different podcast because you are the smart one in the family when it comes to the technology. You found what we've been looking for, which is a perfect
podcasting equipment that I could carry in my pocket, literally.
Right. And so
you got to kind of see Michelle, the advanced personal aid girl, really live in action on this trip. Like you got to see me with the Canon camera around my neck and whipping out the podcast material and clipping it on the lapels and going and just kind of having everything in my magic purse.
And so that's kind of cool because, and let's be honest, we were not expecting, we didn't know what to expect. Like when we got to Galaxy's Edge, that we were going to get, that there was going to be as few people there and that we were going to get kind of the run of the place. I mean, that was a lot more than I was expecting.
I didn't expect to get so many amazing interviews lined up for us too.
Right.
I want to say we had an amazing media rep who was assigned to us by Disney. He was by our side.
Ting Yang.
Yes, he was.
Bright suns to him.
Bright suns to Ting. He was wonderful.
Now, what does bright suns mean? So, because
all right. Well, you know what? Quite honestly, I'm not going to tell our listeners what bright suns is until we get to the interview with the entertainment team.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we'll save the bright suns, but we guarantee you by the end of this podcast, you will be saying bright suns to all of the wonderful people in your life. So let's just get to it. Yeah, we actually have kind of an intro. We're doing an intro, but we kind of had an intro segment ready to go.
Right. So here's the intro to the intro. But we do have, so this first interview we're going to share with you, it's really not. It's a discussion between Peter and I the night before in our hotel room at Grand Floridian after we had spent the afternoon trying to figure out what the heck it is people do at Disney World without their child. And Peter and I largely felt guilty for being there without Ella and probably didn't take as much advantage of it as we should have.
Oh, it's my first time at Polynesian Resort, so I was excited. And we got to do Blue Zoo.
And I got a Dole Whip, so I'm happy as can be.
Yeah. All right, here it is.
So here's the first interview.
We're coming to you from a galaxy far, far away.
Honey, it's not a galaxy far, far away. It's a galaxy we know really well, and everyone who's listening to us knows that.
All right, we are coming to you from the Grand Floridian.
Which is probably one of our top three favorite hotels in the state of Florida.
And we are on the eve of our media, you want to call it junket, but I will say tour of the new Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios. It is the 1 billion, 14-acre park dedicated to Star Wars. And we are getting to check this out because, you know, our podcast, we're part of the media.
Because of everyone who listens to our podcast. We're getting to check it out because of you guys.
Well, one of my friends, David Johnson, said to us, well, one out of every three of your tweets is a positive tweet about Disney. So they kind of owe it to you at this point.
Listen, we are a Disney family by every definition.
In case you're wondering what is that percussion sound in the background, we have the door open as the nighttime fireworks are popping in the background, which is kind of cool.
It's really cool because Ella doesn't like fireworks, so we never actually get to enjoy them. And fireworks are one of my top five favorite things ever.
We are a little bit sad that we are here at Disney World without our...
And if any of you see our child and tell her that we were here, we will deny it.
We were.
So please don't out us. We are not at Disney World right now. Thank you.
We've spent the last two podcasts talking about how much we love Ella Joyce. And then this podcast, we're basically, we're playing hooky from her. We had to tell her that we are staying at a Days Inn. And
no, we didn't have to tell her that. You chose to.
I chose to because...
I said we were going on a work trip. She never asked where we were staying or where the work trip was. She just said, I thought Daddy makes enough money so you didn't have to work, Mommy.
That is what she said. She was very sad this morning when we were going to leave, or when she knew that she was only going to see you for that minute, and then that she might miss you for, you're only going to be gone for one day. I'm going to be gone for 2 days.
Yeah, I can't miss more than one sleep right now. We're just not in that place. And I did explain to Ella, I was like, listen, Mommy had a career. Mommy has talents that she has to share with the world. And as much as I'm blessed to be able to be home with you, there are times that I have to go to work and you just have to understand that. And I appreciate that you're sad. I'm sad with you, but I'm also grateful that Daddy works so hard that I don't have to do this that often.
All right, so let's get into a little bit of a Galaxy's Edge preview. You know basically how much about Star Wars.
My favorite movie, according to my parents, was The Empire Strikes Back when I was 2 years old. Every morning, when I would come into the room to wake them up, they would put me out in the living room and they would plop in the VHS tape for The Empire Strikes Back. I would sit raptly paying attention to the movie. They would go back to sleep. Once the movie ended, then I would wake them up and then my day would start. So I think it's safe to call me a Star Wars fan, but I don't know much beyond BB-8, white stormtroopers. I don't even know if they like each other or not. And I've made a lightsaber before at Disney Springs.
So I am a, I would say I'd put me at like an 8 of 10. Like I would say if I'm geeking out, G.I. Joe is my number one. If you come over to the house, you'll see that I've got more G.I. Joe. Lego is number
two. If you do any digging, you'll find out why his company's named Extensive Enterprises.
You will. I will say Star Wars has always been really cool to me. It's not my number one. Like, I don't dive into, like, I don't wear, like, a Boba Fett t-shirt. And you're like, who is
Boba? Who is Boba Fett?
Right. He's the bounty hunter that everybody worships, The Mandalorian, which is the new show on Disney+.
I like the gold guy. Who's the gold guy?
C-3PO.
Yes, I'm a big C-3PO fan.
Well, you're a big person into protocol. If he was working for, if there was anybody right. that was working for a governor.
It would be C-3PO.
It would be C-3PO. You are the C-3PO of Florida politics. And so, but I will say, like, although Ella Joyce has moved away from it now,
She used to love it.
She used to love it. She used to love White Stormtrooper.
She used to sleep Trooper. With White Stormtrooper every night.
Like, huge. I still have a 6-foot Stormtrooper, and she
that
loves
that he carried off of a Disney cruise ship
and
through customs with the customs agents laughing.
And I still have like I have a lot of Star Wars stuff, and I will readily admit it is the number one. And in fact, as you look at the trailer going into the new one with Rise of Skywalker, this is the number one cultural phenomenon of the 40 years that I've been on this earth. I don't know that there, maybe The Godfather, I don't know what else has had as much impact as Star Wars.
You know, for me, anything that expands the Disney brands and spreads the love of Disney to more people is a good thing. And I think that's part of why I like Star Wars. I like that it's brought a whole different group of people who may not have been fans of the mouse before.
Wait a second, you say that, but if I told you we were going on a Star Wars Day at Sea.
I'm not going to Star Wars Day at Sea on a Disney cruise.
Right. But no, you're right. Like, I will say, like, and you can see it right now. If the Star Wars money is what has infused and made the Disney brand stronger over the last, like, 5 years, I'll take it. If we are getting more Rapunzel and more Disney Junior because there's more Marvel and more Star Wars.
Hey, can I tell you something?
I'll take it.
Ella's outgrown Disney Junior. Just
oh, I know, okay. I know that. But you know, but if there's more Disney, if Disney as a company is stronger because it's making money from one pot of content and being able to put like, I don't think I'll be quite honest. I don't think Mary Poppins, as successful as it was, is some mega blockbuster. But we are getting a Mary Poppins Land at Epcot, and the only reason why you're getting to do that is because the profits are so strong in one category,
right?
You're able to do it in another category.
Exactly. And what Star Wars, what Galaxy's Edge is going to bring to this region is huge, especially in terms of jobs. And I think that is kind of important for us to look at and examine, because there has been some criticism recently about the political tours of Galaxy's Edge in advance of its opening.
There has been. Like, people have been critical that local lawmakers, Nikki Fried, who's the agriculture commissioner, Buddy Dyer, who's the mayor of Orlando, that they've been over here, Jason Garcia at the Orlando Sentinel, moved over from Florida Trend, has been critical of it. And to me, this is ridiculous. Like,
it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, if it was a Wawa, we would be going to a ribbon cutting. Governors go to Wawa ribbon cuttings, which I still don't understand. And when I was in the governor's office, I was often made to go to groundbreakings, ribbon cuttings, dedication ceremonies for all sorts of businesses. And quite frankly, when I transitioned to the private sector for the F-35, what was I doing when I was pitching the press? I was pitching, come tour this plant, this facility, because this is the number of jobs we're creating in this community.
People are uncomfortable. They want a direct number, and there it is low-hanging fruit for political journalists to say money is going to this private company, taxpayer money, and you're getting subsidies for the rich. And so, like, Universal Studios this week, again, Jason Garcia wrote about how $16 million is going to a road to the new Universal properties. To me, I say, how can we spend more money there? They are bringing 14,000 jobs, and they will bring multiple millions of tourists to Orlando. And I don't know that you have any more surefire economic incentive than you do the expansion of existing tourism attractions in terms of bringing in new jobs and bringing in, again, tourists to an area. And so I think there's been this criticism. I'm thinking, like, I look at Galaxy's Edge. Think about this. Ella Joyce, it's not now. This is going to be here 15 or 20 years from now.
It is.
And it is going to be on tourist number 7 billion and from Argentina or what have you. And we're almost going to laugh at the fact that maybe there was a little bit of incentive money given to Universal Studios or the Commissioner.
Who cares about Universal Studios? We're talking about Disney World. I'm sorry.
You don't care about Universal
Studios? Not remotely. I'm not a Universal girl. I'm a Disney
girl. Do you
think
we're going to make the flip at some point?
Nope. Ella refuses even to set foot in the property. We've tried. She's just not
buying
it.
The Disney people will be so happy about
this. Yeah, we are a Disney family through and through. You know, everyone always thought I was going to outgrow Disney World. I know my dad got warned a lot about it. My dad is a huge Disney fanatic.
No, he brought...
He was an annual pass holder.
We were not Disney, a Disney family. Your dad helped get us there.
I was Disney.
No, you were a Disney girl. We were not a Disney family.
Right. But my dad was an inaugural annual pass holder at Disneyland. And then he became an inaugural annual pass holder at Disney World. And he has never let his Disney World annual pass lapse in his lifetime.
He just took Ella Joyce on Saturday. Just him and her.
Right.
Like they went just for a couple of hours because, I mean, he goes by himself and just...
He loves Disney.
He brings his camera.
The Hall of Presidents is one of his favorite places in the world.
Yes.
The Voices of Liberty bring him to tears. Here's the thing. I never outgrew Disney. Yes, I dabbled in Universal Studios because my friends were.
That's not all you dabbled in.
That's
in college
all.
Jerry.
Oh, please.
In the college year. Come on.
But Ella is not. I don't see Ella turning into a Universal girl. She doesn't ride roller coasters. She really has bought
in. You say this now. When we're on year five of this podcast, I can't wait to where she is. She doesn't like fire, which is the number one.
That's why she won't go into Islands of Adventure.
Right.
Which I'm all on board with.
It'll be amazing. Like, I've been saying.
But she loves Dr. Seuss, and she doesn't like Seuss Land at Islands of Adventure.
I've been saying to you, like.
She's obsessed with the Grinch, and she wouldn't go meet the Grinch there. She said, can you just bring him to my house, please?
That's not a bad question.
No, it's not.
I've been saying to you, like, will she outgrow Rapunzel? And I'm like,
the answer is a firm no. Because I named my daughter Ella after Cinderella.
I'm waiting for that year when she does that. And that is going to break my heart. And like when she's she's 6 going on 7 in a month and a half. What happens when she turns 10?
Yeah, she's still going to be there. Can we circle back to the criticism of political people being able to go see Galaxy's Edge? Let's be honest of what it really is. It's people who are upset that they don't have the opportunity to see Galaxy's Edge before the grand opening, and that they're going to have to wait in line with the masses because they know how popular it's going to be.
Is that what the criticism is?
I think so, because here's the thing. Having done so many tours and begged people to come out and see facilities, like, for instance, I am thinking of the Luis Graham Regeneration Center in Pinellas.
Oh, which people, I mean, they were beating down the door to go to.
No one wanted to go. It was a job creator. It was a great story. Politicians came. There was no criticism in the newspaper about that. The F-35, one cared about how the cockpits were built.
Yeah, but any time that politicians are perceived to get a special advantage over their, you know, constituents, it makes for low-hanging journalism.
Well, here's the deal, is annual pass holders to Disney World were all sent emails. It was gold and platinum pass holders. The silver ones did not get the email. Silver ones are the ones with all of the blackout dates. You were given the opportunity to book a date to come see Galaxy's Edge before the grand opening.
All right, you know,
it wasn't just politicians who got the chance.
I think there's
Disney opened it up to their pass holders.
I think there's something interesting about this, which is the traffic out at Disneyland has been underwhelming. And it has been because people have thought that it was going to be so busy that they were not able to get into it, which is kind of interesting. Like, Disney traffic after the Galaxy's Edge equivalent out there opened was down by a couple percentage points over where it was year over year. And so I guess there's this perception that, yeah, the mayor of Orlando is getting to look at the green milk ahead of everybody else. Listen, you know what? Then go be the mayor of Orlando.
Exactly.
And I know that you and I are the defenders of the establishment, and we get criticized for that, but... this is one of those things, like, you're a politician, you get to spread it to your constituents, there's, who's supposed to be here first? I mean, is it just, are we just supposed to open it on some random day. And
right, they have got to test it out still.
Right.
They've got to iron out the kinks.
I don't see criticisms of soft openings of restaurants. I mean, exactly. That's always people. And that's what...
Friends and Family Night exists for a reason at
right.
a restaurant.
And you're right. It is complete bullshit. I'm glad that we have got rid of it. All right, so this is going to be one segment of many that we're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks, talking about A Galaxy's Edge. Can we go into a little bit about what you may or may not be excited about? I mean, I know that... All right, so we got 14 Acres. There's the Millennium Falcon ride. I know you're not excited. There is the... All of the characters that are going to be walking around. I know you're not excited, but you are excited about
for the shopping. I'm all about the shopping. I want to see all of the merchandise. I want to buy it all. I want to have every little.
Will you be buying a?
I will be making my own lightsaber. Yes,
you will be. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care what that price point is. It's fine. Ella is super excited, and I have not even confirmed this is accurate. But I have found that she's generally not wrong. Ella says that she can build her own robot or droid somewhere. And a couple of Google searches confirms it for me. But until I see it with my own two eyes, I don't know that that's an actual possibility.
All right, so let me... I know that...
But as a Girl Scout troop leader who's teaching robotics this year, I'm excited if there's a place at Disney World where my girls can learn robotics.
I know that Ella's not into it as much as she was. But 2 years ago... She was into it a lot.
Right.
And it was not just BB-8 and it was not just Stormtrooper. She was into it. And I will say, there was an excitement. And I will say, like, I don't know that there's anything as unifying in pop culture as Star Wars, where if I say Luke Skywalker to somebody, they know what I'm talking about. If I say Han Solo, they know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Somebody else is going to come back to me. Maybe it's Avengers now. Maybe people know what Captain America and Iron Man are. But if I...
Do you want me to spoil Endgame?
No.
Just kidding.
But I think people... If I say Darth Vader, you're literally talking about probably the number one villain in all of movie history, right? I mean,
right. Absolutely.
So I think that there is something...
When you say Darth Vader, I can feel my heart breaking.
Why?
He's such a big villain.
Oh, you think he's a tragic figure?
I do think he's a tragic figure.
See, that's the beauty of you.
And I know, that's who I am.
There is something about this mythos of all of Star Wars, and that's why I'm happy to be over here for this. We have a very busy day. I mean, we're seeing this now, going in tomorrow, when we do this podcast. Like, we're hitting, like,
there are so many presentations tomorrow. We are honored to go to, but honestly, it's a super busy day.
And we will, as we're taping this, we're going to have some podcasts with, we think, one of our favorite representatives from Disney.
But we're not going to out them now
because they may, you know, the schedule may not be there. But as we tidy this up now, we've got our Galaxy's Edge
magic bands on.
We've had our... Galaxy's Edge martinis, which are great. And so we are anticipating a really exciting day tomorrow at Hollywood Studios, which quite honestly has been kind of gutted and to make way for
this and all the new exciting developments. I mean, there's more stuff coming at Hollywood Studios that was just announced at D23.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Hollywood Studios is going to be completely revamped.
Well, you and I said it tonight, like, Disney has done a great job over the last 2 to 5 years rapidly adapting themselves for where they were. Like, they gutted Polynesian. And I know that, like you said, the Polynesian Hotel used to be one thing, but it's like, how do we get Moana there? How do we get modern characters that, like, Stitch? How do we get Zootopia? How do we get some of these things that have been very successful into our parks as quickly as possible to replace things? Like, I mean, how long is It's a Small World? Like, who is going to... It's a small world.
It's a Small World. It's never going to leave. It's a legacy ride, and it originated at the World's Fair, and it's at Disneyland and Disney World. So stop hating on It's a Small World. It's always going to be there.
Have you been there? I mean, it's like...
I like it. Thank you.
You and I know what it looks like because we
designed a playroom. We designed a playroom for Ella at our very first house. It's a Small World nursery and playroom. It was lovely and glorious.
Any political notes as we close it down on this one? I'm trying to think. I don't really have any tonight.
The president hasn't embarrassed me since we recorded our podcast this morning. So that's a positive.
That's a positive.
That's a big deal. I'm pretty good.
You good?
Yeah. Do you have anything?
No, I'm thinking a lot about sports because of Andrew Luck and what's going on there. I mean, it's a separate podcast.
We will deal with that later because we are.
Am I allowed to do like a fantasy football podcast?
At some point. But tonight we
have. No, you should say no, I'm not.
Like, no, because you had a whole hot take about how no one cares about your fantasy football team. No fantasy football podcast.
Quick hot take. I love Taylor Swift's new album. I mean.
It's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? All right. Well, we will come back to you all it's all going to be one podcast, but it's
we'll be back tomorrow. And we are also testing new podcast technology as we're here. So
yeah, so our voices are going to be really all over the place.
And it's a good place to break because I don't know how this is going to transfer.
And wait a second. How do we work in Predict It, our sponsor?
We will work in Predict It tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this segment of He Said.
She Said.
So clearly we had no idea what to expect with this media preview, but we were both really excited, right, babe?
Yes. I mean, again, this is our first media preview as a duo. I've never been to an amusement park preview, quite honestly. I've never been there for one of their big grand openings. And also it's Disney. So you know it's going to be kind of first class. And so I remember when we walked into the exhibition hall or to the conference center at Grand Floridian, man, it was like the most incredible breakfast ever. They had great bags of swag. They had the Disney cruise ship buses. I mean, you knew it was going to be a great day if you were a Disney fan, much less a media rep.
And speaking of Disney cruise ship buses, for those of you who are curious, Ella's favorite part of the media preview was, in fact, riding on a Disney cruise ship bus because she's never been on one in her life. But that is kind of where we started. We started, our media rep met us in the conference center, and we loaded onto a bus. And I had no idea that we were going to get to go behind the scenes, behind the magic, if you will. We weren't allowed to record or video recording or audio recording anything that we saw backstage because we don't want to ruin the magic for people. But it was really cool to go backstage and kind of get to walk in an employee gate of Hollywood Studios, right, babe?
Right. If you're a Disney fan, this was a dream come true. If you're a Star Wars fan, it was a dream come true. And so we got there and we got a really cool preview of what Galaxy's Edge is about, but also what they have in store.
Yes. And again, we weren't allowed to record in there, otherwise we would have. We had a presentation that was really well done, and they brought out Phil Holmes, who is the vice president of Hollywood Studios. And so he's kind of the man who has been overseeing this huge expansion, because it's not just Galaxy's Edge at Hollywood Studios. They just had Toy Story Land open last year.
Right. They're remaking the entire park. You know, they showed some of the history from where it was as a working studio, but now it's basically the future of Disney, especially because, I mean, you've got Magic Kingdom, what it is. There's only so much space you can build there. Hollywood Studios, they basically have turned over half of that park, revamping it with more modern and more contemporary rides and lands like Toy Story. They've got the new Mickey,
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, which will be the first ever attraction the first ever ride that features Mickey Mouse himself, which is kind of crazy. Disney World's coming up on its 50th anniversary celebration, and it's crazy to think that it's the first ride that will ever feature the mouse himself.
Yeah, you know who's going to be excited about that is Ella Joyce, along with kids everywhere. But then people that are fans of Mickey are going to be...
And I'm even getting over how upset I am about the ride that's going away that they're replacing with the railroad.
Which one was that?
Yeah, now I'm totally blanking
on it.
It was
like the greatest ride.
It's the Great Movie Ride.
Great American Movie Ride.
It was one of my favorites.
I'm upset about, I'm still missing the Sorcerer's Apprentice cap in the middle of Hollywood.
Disney purists never wanted that Sorcerer's hat
really?
There. It's not original. It was not originally in that park.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was always the Chinese theater was at the end. So people are glad to see it gone. I know you miss it. Sorcerer Mickey is your favorite. But it was really cool because we got to hear also from, and I'm going to maybe butcher his name, and I apologize for that, Scott Trowbridge. And he flew on a red eye straight from the D23 conference, which we talked about last week. And he is the Star Wars portfolio creative executive. So he's kind of a big deal in the Imagineering department of Disney. Right, babe?
Yeah, he gave a great preview of not only what's been going on in Galaxy's Edge, but what is set to come, which I don't know if we get into it on our podcast or not, but they have their main ride, The Rise of the Resistance, is not fully built out yet. And so he gave a little bit of a preview of that. And also...
And wait, what was the cool thing that he told us he was going to do? What did he let us do with Rise of the Resistance? Did he surprise everyone by telling us that we were going to get to actually go walk through the ride and
we
see
did.
It?
We did. And it was the first time... Because our friends a couple weeks ago who were there did not get to do the same
And cast
tour.
Members on their previews did not get to either. So Scott himself actually took us all in small groups through the ride in construction. We got to see what is in store for the Rise of the Resistance and what an amazing ride it's going to be.
Yeah, that's combining multiple elements of contemporary riding, you know, where you're part of the ride, where you're in a augmented reality. I will have to say, like, as exciting, as fun as Smuggler's Run was, you know, it reminded me of the new Transformers ride at Universal and other rides that are out there where you're in the contraption and you're moving along with the screen. This felt, and how many times do we hear this word, completely immersive, especially when you get into the belly of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, it's you load up onto a transport vehicle, and that's like the first part of the ride, and then everything kind of goes amiss. Like, you are being recruited to join the resistance, and then the First Order captures you, and you end up in the belly of a Star Destroyer. So we actually have a little segment that we taped right after we got off of previewing that ride, and we want to share that with you guys now so you can actually get, like, our firsthand reactions and responses to seeing what we saw instead of something a little bit later.
All right, we are coming to you live from Disney's Galaxy's Edge, and we just got to do probably the coolest thing that we have done in a really long time. Honey, can you tell our listeners what we just did?
We are now part of the Resistance. We just got to take an exclusive sneak peek at Rise of the Resistance, the ride that is opening December 5th. It's not all done, but basically we just were inside of a
First Order spaceship?
Yeah. And so, like, you go through, they show you the, like, what the transport that you get into there.
And we are on a secret base for the Resistance. And then we get captured by the First Order. And the First Order wants to find out from us. We're on a transport. So we are on a secret base of the Resistance. We get on a transport. The transport is taking us to our mission. And we get captured by the First Order. And the First Order wants to know from us where the Resistance base is.
And so if you've ever seen a Star Wars movie, think about the first movie when you go into a destroyer. Those big scenes where you're looking out at space and TIE fighters are landing and stormtroopers are marching across. Think about, like, in Return of the Jedi when Emperor Palpatine's cruiser comes into the docking bay. You literally are walking into, I would say it's a four-story docking bay, maybe the size of a half football stadium, all completely decked out, immersive. You really do feel like you're in outer space.
It is. It was like being on a movie set, but better. It was like actually being in Star Wars. You felt like that you were the movie. And here's the thing, the lead Imagineer on this project, who was leading our tour, and he said the one thing that we really wanted to do with the Rise of the Resistance ride is we wanted to make sure that there was a lot of surprises and that things went wrong and that it was fun, because Star Wars deserves that. And I'm going to tell you, this ride's going to deliver all those things for you. It's unlike any ride that Disney's ever done before, and I think that probably any amusement park has done before.
It is. There's multiple parts to it. You know, there's the part where you get onto the transport. It's the part when you get onto the destroyer. We saw a little bit of a preview earlier today about kind of a drop.
I don't think you were supposed to say that, but...
You were allowed. You just couldn't take any photos.
Correct. Okay. I know. I know that you're not actually in trouble with Disney World. I just meant maybe don't spoil. But there's like three different parts to the ride. All I'm going to say is...
It's big.
It's amazing. And I'm not even a giant Star Wars fan, and I can't wait to ride this ride. That's how great it is.
All right, we'll give you another update after a couple more adventures. We got to tell you, this is such an exciting place.
As mind-blowing as the Rise of the Resistance preview was, it was not the only cool thing that we got as a preview on the front end of our tour. The other big news, the other big preview that we got was
the Halcyon Galactic Sky Cruise announcement. Anne Morrow Johnson is the executive director and creative head of the Halcyon Galactic Sky Cruise experience. She's another big person in the Imagineering universe at Disney World, and also flew on the red eye straight from D23 to give us all of the details and to share some special information about what guests can expect to experience when they depart on their 2-day cruise.
So I got to be honest with you. This is probably the most ambitious plan that I've seen Disney do in a while. I mean, I know they've got cruises. I know they've got parks. But the idea that you're going to have people come, you're going to check in like and depart on a cruise for 2 days, supposedly into outer space. All the windows are going to be showing your travels through stars and so forth.
And you're going to be interacting with characters. You're going to be a part of the story. Chewbacca is going to be on the ship with you along with a lot of others. And you're going to be recruited based on how you interact to be a part of the story. So say you happen to really be getting along well with...
If you're an asshole, are you going to get brought into being the First Order? Is that...
Because like not everyone's going to be brought into the Resistance, because the First Order most certainly makes their appearance. We know stormtroopers make their way onto Halcyon.
Let's be clear. You and I are...
Would be angling to be First Order.
Yeah, we would. Please let us be... Like, get us the black jackets, the long black coats, and everything like that.
Everyone does get taken into the command center. You get to see how the Halcyon Star Cruiser is controlled and operated. You get to learn about the ship's defense systems and how they would defend against an attack, as unlikely as it may be. And maybe it comes in more useful to you.
I don't think it's unlikely. I have a feeling it's going to be happening every 2 days.
Exactly. So what they described to us is that you would pull up to
a docking or to basically a cruise ship entrance.
A cruise port terminal like we do when we're going on Disney Cruise Line. Everybody arrives at the same time for their cruise on the Galactic Star Cruiser.
So here's the question. I can't imagine you doing it because I don't know if you can geek out. No, it's not that you can't geek out. I can't see you.
I don't know enough of the story. Yes, I'm too. Listen, just talking about it makes me claustrophobic. It's not for me. But I can't wait for you to go. Ella Joyce and I will be very happy at the Four Seasons, enjoying a girls' weekend while you go geek out in space. And maybe we'll come visit you on your port day.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan.
Because okay. There is a port day on every...
Well, and that's when you get to Batuu, which is...
Yes, there's a port day at the Black Spire Outpost in Batuu, and your story continues. Whatever happens in port for you will tie to your story on the Star Cruiser. So you never, ever leave the world. You always stay in your Star Wars story, which makes it a truly unique, immersive experience.
There's that word
that we heard a lot throughout our travels through Batuu. So immersive is something that came up a lot, and you don't really understand what they mean when they say it's immersive. They're not cast members. They're citizens of Batuu when you go into Galaxy's Edge. You don't really understand it until you get there. And we also had the opportunity to interview the entertainment division of Galaxy's Edge to learn exactly how they created this immersive experience and what it means for you as a park visitor when you enter Galaxy's Edge.
So we have the opportunity right now to interview one of the creative geniuses behind this incredible land that we've been experiencing all day. Melanie?
Yes.
And what is your official title?
My official title is production manager with Disney Parklife Entertainer.
And so what role did you play, or what job do you play in keeping Galaxy's Edge running?
My role is to bring entertainment and bring this planet alive, to make sure that you feel immersed into this this Batuu and in the Black Spire Outpost.
That's the word we keep hearing again and again, is immersive.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen a
property just as in-depth, everything down to the details. What do you teach your folks, your production designers and so forth? What are they looking for?
It is definitely one of a kind, offering that we have here at the parks. It's nothing that we have done before. It is definitely the largest and the most technologically created land that we have created. You know, it's 14 acres. So there is a lot here to cover for you. But you know, you will definitely, the villagers and everybody here makes it that you are part of their planet. And then our visitor, they walk through and they will encounter very common faces, which one of them is definitely Chewbacca. So you'll get to encounter Chewbacca that will be, you know, looking for the lookout for anybody that would like to join him on the Resistance.
Oh, wow.
You will have to encounter Rey, which is our newest hero from the Resistance as well, that, you know, get to meet and get to see everybody. And then we have this new character named Vi Moradi, which Vi Moradi is our Resistance spy that is on the lookout for any First Order in the village, on the outskirt of the village. And then she is trying to find any intel that she can from the First Order. And obviously, from time to time, Kylo Ren will be coming onto Batuu and consult with the First Order officer for any disturbance from the Resistance.
Are these character interactions things you have to wait in line for, or are the characters just roaming the park?
The characters are roaming the park. There is no land. There is no line for anything. They are truly here to meet you. The First Order will reach out to you for any intels that you may have with the Resistance, or if you're allegiance with the Resistance as well.
So I have a question. A lot of the characters keep saying a salutation, Bright Suns. What are the names of the three suns?
That's enough. All communications must cease immediately by order of the First Order. You must come with me.
I'm sorry.
I'm actually sorry.
It's nothing.
We've never had this happen in a podcast.
Stormtroopers are stealing our interview guests.
Imagine if that happened to a Florida politician.
That would be pretty hilarious. Imagine if it happened to Donald Trump.
Thank you.
See, this is what we were talking about. This completely immersive experience when you're in Batuu in Galaxy's Edge. The First Order just captured our interview guests. So.
We've never had the First Order interrupt an interview before.
No, we have not had that.
And I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Right. And so as you're just walking around Galaxy's Edge, and it is so big, I think that's one of the things that you really have to get a sense of. You walk through the entrances, you're completely separated from the rest of Hollywood Studios.
You have no idea that you're at a Disney amusement park.
Right.
It really feels like you are on the planet Batuu.
I got to give you credit for something, and I don't want it to be diminishing what Galaxy's Edge was, but you kind of called it this, like, great place.
Go ahead.
You called it this great place for taking Instagram shots.
It was like one large Instagram backdrop, and it is.
Like, if you're a Star Wars fan, you are going to be taking 1,000 selfies.
Every corner you turn, there was something else. Where it was the parking lot, where there was all of the different, like, vehicles that were parked there, and the detail in that, or Droid Alley, all of the droids just lined up in, you know, the corridors as you go. It was just something that you have never seen anywhere, and for a Star Wars fan, you can't beat that. The droid that was controlling the roasting spit over right at the snack station.
Roto's Rooster or whatever.
I got it completely wrong,
which is a lesson when you're tweeting about any of this stuff.
Don't get it wrong, because the Star Wars fans will come at you.
I had a S in the wrong place, or a possessive S in the wrong place.
Oh, I saw
it. And
them
I heard it from the trolls very quickly. So I was careful the rest of the day.
You have to be careful. Now, you promised our guests that you would tell them what Bright Suns mean, and I said that we had to wait till the entertainment section, so we're here. Can you explain what Bright Suns means and how it's part of the immersive experience?
Kind of funny. Our media rep kept addressing us, Bright Suns, and I thought maybe it was something that he was pulling out. It was some sort of greeting from where he was. But as it turns out, it is how they address each other. All of the citizens of Batuu, supposedly there are three suns circling that are in the, next to Batuu. And so they say,
has a sun, right?
Right.
So this planet happens to have three suns.
And we felt it, by the way.
We did feel it. But we learned those suns don't have a name, because we met actually the authors of the Black Spire Outpost book, which we have and to read. Follow-up book. We do have to read those books.
People said, I ran into somebody and they said, you really have to read those books. You'll get a lot more out of the experience of going to Galaxy's
Edge. Yes, because then you can actually play a game in Galaxy's Edge that we were not aware of.
And then there's also, so you also say goodbye by saying, may the spires keep you.
Or to the spires.
Is it to the spires or till the spires?
I have no idea.
But I said it like 1,000 times.
Peter was obsessed with the language of the citizens. I kind of was uncomfortable because I couldn't figure out if I was saying the right thing or the wrong thing. And the citizens of Batu, they don't ever break out of character. There's no chance of you telling them something different and then getting them to like talk to you in standard Earth language. But that's kind of part of the immersive experience. You know, everybody says, welcome,
travelers. Are we having a drinking game today while we play? Anytime you say immersive, our listeners have to take a shot.
Everybody takes a shot of blue milk or green milk.
Speaking of which, blue milk, I like blue milk better. Speaking of which, I don't think we talk about it enough in our interviews. The food and drink is awesome at Galaxy's Edge. Because as it turns out, you had to go back and be mom at open house. So you didn't get to do the food and drink like I did the night of.
Yeah, I didn't get to stay for the party that Peter got to go to.
The awesome party. And I will tell you, those Jedi mind erasers, those are some serious drinks. There's a great bar on there, Oga's Cantina. And that's another part where they're serving only cocktails that are from Batu. So if you go in there and you try and order a margarita, they'll say, sorry, sir, we don't have that here, but we have spoken to other travelers from your planet, and you may like this. They never break character on that. And so I hit Oga's Cantina, and then I also spoke with the chefs at the restaurant. I don't remember the name of the restaurant right now, but it's got kind of like the whole menu is, I would say, a little bit of Asian inspired. There's like a knockoff of Korean barbecue ribs. There's a lot of like great vegetable slaws and things like that. I'm telling you, people are going to be going, like the way they go to Epcot for the beer, people are going to be going to Galaxy's Edge just for the food.
And there are 7 food and beverage locations in Galaxy's Edge where you can go and experience these things. And one of the things we did try was the famed green milk, blue milk. The green milk and blue milk, you can either get non-alcoholic, or the green milk comes with tequila and the blue milk comes with rum. And Peter had a very firm favorite.
Oh, I was definitely blue milk. And I could definitely see that with a nice little topper of tequila.
No, the blue milk comes with rum. Green milk comes with tequila. Well,
We'll see about that by the time.
I don't think the citizens of Batu will let you change the recipe.
Got it.
So there was a lot of cool, fun experiences. And we said it was a lot like a big Instagram backdrop, but you actually couldn't really capture the whole scope of the park on your own with just your own camera, which was why I was really excited to see some new PhotoPass experiences.
Very cool stuff here.
That we have never seen at any other Disney parks. And it's kind of cool to see them innovating in Galaxy's Edge. And we had the opportunity to talk with the PhotoPass team about what you can do in Galaxy's Edge.
I am here now with Marie, and she is here to tell us all about the Disney PhotoPass experiences in Galaxy's Edge. Marie, can you give our listeners a little bit of an overview of what they can expect to find when they come visit Galaxy's Edge?
Absolutely. We're so excited. We have 7 locations within the land where you'll find our Disney PhotoPass service, including 2 new experiences that are premiering in the land. One of them is a Tiny World Magic Shop, so it's going to place our guests as if they're standing in the middle of Planet Batu, so it's just a great, unique photo experience, very shareable. And then the second one is a Super Soon Magic Shot, so similar to the one you've seen at Cinderella Castle over at Magic Kingdom. However, now what's going to happen is we take a burst of photos, and then it's going to zoom in to show you standing in the middle of the line. So we get a video in your account where it zooms in to show where you're standing by the Millennium Falcon or by the First Order cargo. So it's just great, unique shots that our guests can capture themselves, but with the magic of Disney, they can get them in their account and share them with their family and friends.
It really is incredible. Peter and I did already do both of those experiences, and we have shared one of the photos with our listeners, and we're going to go ahead and share the other one later. It really does set apart the PhotoPass experience. It makes it an even more valuable service when people are coming to Disney World now. I feel like
you know, yes, you can take pictures on your iPhone, but it, you're never going to get the shots that the PhotoPass experience is letting you do.
Absolutely. We've always known that PhotoPass is important because you get everyone in the photo, you know, so you don't have mom or dad not taking the photo, not being in the photo. But now, in addition to getting the whole family in the photo, you get something unique, very shareable, and something you can capture to yourself. Only the magic of Disney.
So Disney fans, we all love like the special magic add-ons that sometimes happen in photos that you don't know about. Are there any that we can look for in Galaxy's Edge?
Oh, of course. So there's a pork magic shot. There's also a monkey lizard one. You're going to have TIE fighters in the sky. So there's all sorts of cool experiences
that
in the land.
That is very cool. Well, thank you for the overview.
Of course.
I
hope you enjoy it.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
We were really fortunate to be able to take advantage of those PhotoPass experiences, but we really haven't told you guys about the ride that's operational in Galaxy's Edge yet, and that is Smuggler's Run, and we had the chance to ride it. But before that, we got to interview one of the Imagineers who worked on Smuggler's Run, and here's that interview.
There aren't too many podcasts that will be able to say that they are taping from inside of the Millennium Falcon. But that is where we are right now. We are talking with Sophia. How excited are you to be inside of this iconic starship?
I honestly never thought that I would set foot on the Millennium Falcon. And I can't believe we're gonna get to fly it in a little bit. It is quite honestly a dream come true for a lifelong Disney-phile. Sophia, can you share your title with our listeners and let them know kind of what you do here at Disney World?
Sure. My name is Sophia Acevedo, and I'm a project controls planner with Walt Disney Imagineering.
So what went into building this Millennium Falcon? We talked to a friend of ours that works with Disney, and he was saying that there wasn't two full-scale Millennium Falcons built for the movies that George Lucas and then the subsequent directors, that they were using pieces, but this is clearly up to scale here.
Yes, so Walt Disney Imagineering, in close partnership with Lucasfilm, worked on every single detail, every sort of storyline, and really worked hard to make sure that all the representations of the Millennium Falcon up until this point amounted to what you see outside the true Millennium Falcon.
Can it still do the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs?
Well, maybe you can see for yourself.
What's the backstory on Hondo? I'm not familiar with that, and I think that that's going to be an exciting, just for our listeners, as you're walking through and into the ride, there are several stages where you're going to stop and you're going to be entertained along the way. And so Hondo is a big part of that. What's the backstory there?
So Hondo is from the animated, some of the animated series, and guests will have the opportunity to actually meet him here at Onaka Transport Solutions. And so he is a transporter of cargo. And so the way that guests will meet him is he will offer an interesting proposition to you and your crew to make a couple deliveries or maybe pickups along the way.
Are you saying that he might try to get us to behave in some nefarious behavior?
I think you're just gonna have to see what he offers you.
What can our listeners expect to experience when they ride this ride?
I think, guess when they board the Millennium Falcon, they're gonna walk right into the cockpit, and the crew of six will each be assigned a different role. We'll have two pilots who will actually fly and, you know, manipulate the Falcon in directions. And then we will have two gunners who will be possibly defending against some potential trouble that may arise. And then we'll have two engineers to round out the crew to make sure that the Millennium Falcon is running in optimal shape.
So you need to ride this ride at least three times just to get the full experience.
Absolutely. Each role in the crew is its own unique experience and really gives a full account of what it's like to ride the Millennium Falcon.
They better get those fast passes ready. Will there be fast passes available to get onto this ride?
They're not sure yet. Everybody's looking at us like we don't know why they asked that question. Will there be separate lines for the different roles, or will you be randomly assigned your role when you get to the cockpit?
So once Hondo offers you a job and you accept his offer, you will be you will board the Millennium Falcon, where at that time you will be given your role assignments.
Again, it's just so cool to be literally at the table where Obi-Wan and Luke begin his Jedi training, and where so much of the Star Wars stories have played out. And so this is an incredible journey. Smuggler's Run is an incredible ride. I can't wait to get on it.
I can't wait to ride it either. And I know that I'm overwhelmed by all of this, but you have spent a little bit more time on the Millennium Falcon than we have. What is your favorite feature that someone might not notice on their first walkthrough and ride on the Millennium Falcon?
Well, my favorite details about the Millennium Falcon is in this chess room where we're sitting talking is if you look around, you'll notice that there may be some nests of some porgs hanging around, and so kind of a nod to some of the films.
I noticed that, and I just thought, okay, they're still under, like, I saw like one in the first when you're walking up the ramp, and I'm like, does nobody not notice that there's some wildlife in here? And then, okay, so it's a board. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for this guide. We're excited to get on it, and I'm sure everybody who's listening will be excited to ride Smuggler's Run as well. Okay, so how cool was that?
It was really amazing, and I don't even ride rides. I actually tried to get out of having to ride the ride.
It was, if you want to get a really good sense of how fun that ride was, check out our Facebook page. There's a great clip that we will post up of Michelle just basically screaming for 3 minutes.
I was laughing. It was more laughing. I was screaming. I mean, it was hysterical, nervous laughing because I don't ride rides, but I was also having an amazing time.
Yeah, they do a great job. Again, walking into it, it's going to be a bit of a wait to get onto Galaxy's Edge or onto Smuggler's Run, but there's some really cool interactive stuff along the way.
And I have some video of that too that I'll post to the Facebook page where you guys can see some of the cool stuff that you get to experience while you're waiting for Smuggler's Run, because we know it'll be a long wait. But I also want to be clear, you don't just see or hear me screaming. You see through the windshield. Yeah, you screaming. And you see through the windshield of the ride what we're seeing as we're driving the Millennium Falcon.
All right, so if there's anything that our podcast is able to do, it's have fun, but also combine in the political. So this is a rare treat here because our next guest is kind of one of those people who is a wizard behind the curtain. He is Adam Babington, a vice president with Disney. People who are in Florida politics know him, honestly, as one of the most powerful people in Florida politics. He is on my Influence 100 list of the most influential people in Florida politics, and it's because of the outsized role that Disney plays in our state politics, but also how good it is at how it plays the game in state politics. They have had a decade or more, of course, of success. And a lot of that is due in part to Babington and his team there. So here is an interview with Adam Babington, Vice President of Walt Disney World, Florida. Okay, of all the special guests today, I think this one has the most power in the Force, because I will tell you, as we traveled around Batuu today at Galaxy's Edge, more doors opened because we were a friend of Adam Babington than if we were friends with Kylo Ren. So we're happy to have Adam Babington on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what's your official title?
My official title is Vice President External Affairs for Walt Disney World.
And what does that cover?
That covers government relations and corporate citizenship. So the political and the philanthropic.
Oh, wow. That's a big, big portfolio. We've known you for a while. You've always been very generous with your time and other things for us, you know, just kind of letting us dork out over text and social media about how much we love Disney. All right, so do you ever just, like, are you the guy at the M&M factory that's had as your fair share of M&Ms, or do you still get excited by the cool things that are happening around Disney?
I still get excited. You saw it today with the Millennium Falcon. The first time I got to walk around the corner in Batu and see the Millennium Falcon, it was amazing. It gives you chills. And to be a part of that and to have that experience, last year was with Toy Story Land. The year before that, it was with Pandora. So to be a part of these amazing new lands and just this continued evolution of Disney has been incredible.
It seemed like there was a ton of excitement from all of the cast members in Galaxy's Edge, and even the cast members here in the hotel. Everyone is just really amazed by how well it all has come together and by what it means for the company. What is your favorite part of Galaxy's Edge?
My favorite part so far is Millennium Falcon, and you experienced it. It is what I'd like to describe as a really advanced video game. All six different seats in the Falcon is a different experience, and every time you go on it, you can get a different experience. And so there's no other ride on property like it. What I'm looking forward to is Rise of the Resistance in December. It's going to be mind-blowing. Just what we have seen so far and what we've shared publicly, it's really incredible what the Imagineers have been able to put together.
All right, so what you guys have shared, was it me, or was there a lot of news this weekend out of D23, even relative to previous D23 conferences? Like, it just seemed like every 5 minutes it was, we are launching something, not just we're adding a character or we're going to be opening a bar at an existing land. It seemed like everything that was coming out, whether it be the new cruise ship, whether it be, you know, especially like the Disney Plus lineup, it just seemed like it was like two or three steps ahead from where previous conferences were at.
And I think what you're seeing is that for years we've been talking about the evolution of Epcot and hinting at what's coming while announcing Guardians of the Galaxy, announcing Ratatouille. So there have been pieces out there, but this weekend was kind of the full reveal on what Epcot is going to be coming next. And then, as you mentioned, Disney Plus, with that launching in November, just the incredible amount of content that we're going to be generating once that goes live and what everybody can be looking forward to.
Okay, so you can imagine for us that the biggest news was probably the announcement of the fifth cruise ship's name, the Disney Wish, and the most important detail
is that Rapunzel is on the stern. You know how much we love Rapunzel, so I'm sure you're not surprised that this next question is going to come. How do we get on the inaugural sailing?
That is the million-dollar question. That is, there's so much excitement around the next three ships. With the four ships that we have out there right now, we have obviously gotten to the point where we can nearly double the size of the fleet. We're adding another island destination in the Bahamas. There's
tell us about that. Well, I mean, any insights into that one?
Lighthouse Point.
Is it the same as Castaway Key, or will it be a new?
There will be a different experience.
Okay.
I think we're going to be releasing some more of those details, but there'll be a distinctly different feel than what you see.
So we'll get Cookies 3. Instead of Cookies 1 and 2, which is, I love Cookies 2. That's my favorite barbecue.
For people who don't know, Cookies is the name of the barbecue joints on Castaway Key, Disney's private island. And it's an excellent meal while you're on the island. So, sorry, Peter, you assume everyone's cruised as much as you have. What's also really exciting coming out of D23 is the new cruise experience that is the Halcyon Spaceship Hotel, which sounds more like a cruise than a hotel. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Adam?
It is. So what you're going to experience is you're going to be on an interstellar voyage. You're going to leave Earth and take a pod transport to the spacecraft that then takes you for 2 days and two nights on an interstellar journey, including one port excursion on Batuu. And so, much like a cruise ship, you're going to be departing with all your fellow voyagers, and then you're going to live out your Star Wars dreams.
Is it safe to say that that's kind of the most ambitious experience? I don't know if there's anything like it in the world. I mean, and I don't mean to overstate just because we love Disney, but the idea of going to a closed environment like this, I mean, you and I have joked about it. It's a step before Westworld. I mean, without all of the crazy things going on in that, but
it's Disney friendly.
But I mean,
there's no casino.
Yeah, there's other things in Westworld we'll leave out for right now. But it's pretty ambitious. I mean,
absolutely.
The idea that you're going to be in this environment and you're I don't know. Like, I'm kind of amazed by it, that by the even the prospect of it.
Well, it takes the all-inclusive model, it takes the cruise ship model, and it takes this whole immersive experience that we're seeing, that people want to have these personalized, in-depth, immersive experiences and combine them all into one. And it leverages what you've seen with what we have at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and then combines it with a resort stay so that people can live out these Star Wars experiences. And we talked about it today, that Batuu is existing in our reality.
Right.
So it isn't something that you saw in one of the movies. It is a new land, and you're going to get to live out your Star Wars story real time and don't have to go and compare back to anything else. Certainly there's references back to the movies and across all of Star Wars canon, but it is truly going to be about you and how you experience it.
How do you keep up with all of it? Because, I mean, 10 years ago, Disney was what it was, and then you add on Lucasfilm and you add on Marvel. How do you keep up with, like, how do the Disney employees, how do you all keep up with, or do you just kind of just say, hey, listen, I can only pick, like, three characters to really focus on, because everybody's going to come up to you and, what's the latest on Ratatouille? And you're like, I don't know, what are we doing now on that one? There's just so many facets now of the Disney universe.
If you think that what at the core of our company is the content, it is the characters. Those are the stories. Going back all the way to Walt, that it was really about the characters and the stories that he was creating, mm-hmm. and then everything is built upon that. So I think when you look at the great intellectual property that we brought on from Lucasfilm and Pixar before that, and Marvel, and now Fox, is that it's really about going and getting into those stories and then being able to build all these great experiences on top of them. So, you know, I think from a cast member standpoint, it's exciting because it just continually gives us new things to really get into. And that even if we have folks who weren't Star Wars fans before all of this, once you've experienced kind of the construction and the development of Galaxy's Edge and be able to see, you know, this rollout this week, you can't help but be a fan. You can't help but really get into it.
That's kind of how Michelle is, where she's not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world. But once you get on that ride, once you were in Galaxy's Edge today, I think I don't know if you're a convert, but you're definitely a much bigger fan than you were, you know, hours ago, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was more of a nostalgic Star Wars fan because it was such a part of my childhood. And with Galaxy's Edge, it was more of a case of FOMO. I didn't want to miss out on what everybody was raving about. But I got there today, and I can't wait to go dive into the Star Wars universe all over again, because it made you want to know more. It makes you want to be a part of it. It made you, quite honestly, you know, you understand better what the stories George Lucas was telling are when you have walked through a land and you are talking to the citizens of Batuu and they're trying to recruit you for the resistance. It's a very cool experience. And, you know, I was kind of struck by how many women we saw today that had pretty large roles in helping a lot of the different parts of Galaxy's Edge come together. And I know that 1,700 jobs were created by this expansion. What types of people have been brought into the Galaxy's Edge universe to make this a reality?
It really comes from all walks of life and all skill sets. And that's what's great about opening a new land, is that it takes such a wide variety of talent, from conceiving what the land is, to designing, to building, to the artisans that are there to add the finishing touches, to the operators who are there to enhance those experiences, both from those that you're meeting in the marketplace to those who are operating the Millennium Falcon. You really run the gamut. And then there's all the cast members that you don't see, those who are backstage, who are ensuring that everything is working the way it needs to, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think that's what's so great about the experience we had a couple of weeks ago. We brought 1,200 Boys and Girls Club kids in from around Central Florida, and it was kind of their back-to-school moment. And for a lot of these kids, they didn't have a vacation. They didn't get to leave town. This was their vacation. It was a day where they got to spend at Hollywood Studios. But we heard from a lot of them was that it was inspiring them of what they could do in the future, of wow, I could pursue a career where I could potentially work here or help design this or help operate it or help fix it. And so I think that's where really the essence of what we're about is creating these opportunities across the board of people being able to come into this company and chart their own journey and you know, create opportunities for themselves that really it's hard to replicate anyplace else.
I like the thing I like about Disney, especially right now, is for every Disney cruise that you add hotel space for the average family that can still come and do a 4-day, or you still, you know, I still think that the annual pass is the best deal. I know that there's some blackouts and things like that, but I mean, if you were within, you know, a couple hundred miles and you live in Florida, it's just, it's such a great deal.
What do you know about blackouts? You've never had an annual pass with blackout dates, so let's not pretend that. Thank you. You're a platinum annual pass holder.
I was being false humble. I know that there are blackout dates. My blackout date is basically from Memorial Day, usually until Labor Day, because it is so hot that I just kind of hang out. But now that we're back, it's kind of into season, like the Grand Floridian, you know, it's time to get back over here.
It is. But, you know, Disney has been expanding the experiences outside of the parks, too. It's not just what's going on in Galaxy's Edge or in Epcot. There have been a lot of character dining experiences added, which is a great way to allow families who might not be able to afford the price of an admission ticket to still see their beloved Mickey Mouse, Pluto, Rapunzel. I know there's the new storybook dining with Snow White and Maleficent that's really popular. Has that been a concerted effort to keep expanding that way to make it more accessible to everyone?
I think what you're seeing is just a recognition in the marketplace of what people are looking for and being able to adapt to changing customer preferences and how people travel and what they expect when they travel and the types of experiences. Again, it goes back to the personalization, is that people want to be able to have those character dining experiences because it creates those personal moments and it makes something that is individually memorable for that child and for that family. And so I think that's just where the population is headed, and we're continuing to try to meet that demand.
Where do you take people? All right, so you've got, I don't want to say family member, but you've got a really good friend that is in for the weekend and they want to go to Disney. Where's your, you know, I don't want to say, you know, no expense spared, but like, hey, you should really go. Like, I know it sounds crazy. We love Fort Wilderness right now, which is about as affordable a way to experience Disney. Like, you can get over to Fort Wilderness. You can take the boats into the park. There's a lot of old school Disney, like magic still happening at Fort Wilderness. The people that are there really love Disney too. Like they're not just in for a conference or something like that and happen to be staying at a hotel. They love Disney. I mean, they've got an RV with Disney paint on it. I mean, that's an investment. So you've got somebody coming in for the weekend or something like that. Where do you like to take people?
I think with what we've been able to do with Disney Springs, yes, we like to start there. And the restaurant options at Disney Springs are incredible. With some of the other experiences, if you haven't gone to go and try the Void over at Disney Springs, which is the Star Wars experience, it's enhanced like hyper reality where you actually get to play out the scenario where you're pretending to be a stormtrooper and you encounter Darth Vader, and it's fully immersive virtual realities. That's fun. But again, the restaurants and just the nightlife experience at Disney Springs is great. And I think, you know, if you're taking folks into a park, love taking people to Epcot and World Showcase, and over at Animal Kingdom, being able to take people on a safari, especially in the evening or first thing in the morning, both of them are can't miss.
Those are some of our favorite things to do at the park, too. Ella actually always celebrates her birthday at Epcot. You mentioned Disney Springs. Another exciting announcement out of D23 was the new Cirque du Soleil show, where this time Cirque actually partnered with the Disney Imagineers so they could be telling more of a Disney story. That's pretty incredible. How long has that been in the works for?
That has been in the works for a couple of years since Cirque closed down in, I think it was 2017. They've been preparing for the reopening, and you're going to have not only a new show, and that show, I think it was about 20 years old, so you're going to have that new show experience, but you're going to have a completely renovated interior of the theater and modernized, just kind of a guest flow and I think you're going to, people are going to be really impressed. I think it's going to be in high demand when it opens, and will be for quite some time. But it's, again, it's one of those opportunities where they felt that it was time to come up with a new idea, and the Imagineers were there to help be a part of that process and develop a great new product.
All right, let's talk about you for a minute, your favorite topic. You are the man behind the scenes on a lot of stuff. You are Disney has a large impact in the political experience, but you're a savvy player. I mean, I don't say that lightly. Oh, as the band kicks in. I mean, Adam got the band started. There he goes. What are you looking forward to? I will say this. One conversation you and I had was you showed me all of the issues that Disney keeps track of. And I thought it was like whether or not you could use magic band technology. And you're like, no, you idiot. It's like 55 things from education and workforce development all the way down to insurance issues and things like that. What are you looking forward to in the 2020 session and beyond? What's what are you keeping track on?
Well, certainly in an election year and with as much as Governor DeSantis got done last year, we're anticipating that there's going to be some interesting issues that are going to be coming forward. I think from our perspective, we're going to be helpful with Visit Florida once again and ensuring that we kind of help them be reauthorized and continued at least to the same funding.
That's a big part of the marketing. You guys believe in that?
I think it's a big part of the toolkit that Florida needs in order to continue to be competitive as a destination. Certainly from Disney's perspective, we obviously have a very robust marketing effort. But what Visit Florida does is complement the efforts that us and some of the other significant players are engaging in, and is also a backstop for in the event of an economic downturn or other situation, you want to be able to have a robust, fully functioning, well-funded Visit Florida that the industry can rely on. Because if we do have an economic downturn or other type of challenging situation, it's all hands on deck. And so we think it's just smart policy to be able to have Visit Florida there, ready, well-funded, and engaged and ready to go. So I think that's going to be one of the big ones that's out there. Transportation, infrastructure funding is going to be significant. And we heard the governor talk about that in recent weeks, is how he sees that we really need to start expediting some of these road projects.
He specifically said we need to get I-4 done, and we need to get it done quick. Like I think I was at the realtors, and he's like, I don't understand why this stuff takes so long. And I could just hear people at FDOT, like, the hair going up on the back of their neck. Like, we better get out there and somebody lay some asphalt or something like that.
Well, you know, I-4 Ultimate ends at Sand Lake Road.
Yeah.
Beyond the Ultimate starts at Sand Lake Road and runs past us all the way down to 27. And that hasn't started yet. So for folks thinking that once I-4 Ultimate is completed, that that's going to be the end of I-4 expansion, that's really just the beginning. That's just the end of the first phase. And so we're talking about at least another decade of I-4 construction. Potentially of what's out there. And so I think when you hear the governor express concern about that is that it does end up at some point becoming a drag on uneconomic growth when it takes this long to expand some of these critical arteries.
This governor's an A in your book at this point, right?
Absolutely.
First year.
Absolutely.
And this legislature's got to be A-, A. I mean, they're doing the things that you guys support, that you all believe in as well.
I think what we've seen from this governor and legislature is that they came in and have been clearly focused on growing the economy, on maintaining the proper role of government, of doing a lot of the things that they said that they would come in and do. It's obviously hard to accomplish everything in the first year, but I think if you look at what the governor ran on and what he said he was going to accomplish, he checked a lot of those boxes in the first session. And so it's going to be exciting to see what he's able to do going into year two.
And we're going to let you go because we know it is a busy day with the rollout and there's a lot going on. Do you have any final thoughts or anything that you want to share with our listeners before you go?
Give us a scoop first. Give us a scoop. Give us one little nugget to hang our hat on.
So I will tell you that we're looking forward to our 50th anniversary in 2021. that back in 1971, when Walt Disney World opened in October of that year, it was obviously a game changer for Central Florida, but it really had an impact on the rest of the state and the economic trajectory. And so over the next couple of years, as we lead up to the 50th, we're going to be excited not only about all the things we've announced so far, but everything else that's in the pipeline, and celebrating what we've been able to build here in Central Florida with the 75,000 cast members that are here and all the additional attractions and other offerings that we have that are coming our way. We're just excited about what this means for the state and what it means for the next 50 years.
Cleveland, Ohio, on your name tag. Any shot for Baker Mayfield and those Browns? Are you a fan?
Oh, I'm a huge fan, and I'm feeling good for the first time in probably 25 years. I'm feeling good about this year. You know, I know I should be cautiously optimistic, but throwing caution to the wind, you know, it's finally our time, and I'm excited to see what Baker and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and that whole team can do.
Well, you've got a lot on your plate. Browns fan, Disney fan stuff. We really appreciate you spending time with us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so that was cool to have Adam on. People who know our podcast know what kind of treat it was to have Adam come on because of just how he's not a self-promoter. He's not one of these people that gets his name in the press. So getting insights for him about what's going to be happening at Disney and what's going to be happening on Disney's political or with Disney's political activities is a real treat.
He's probably the most natural fit of an interview for our podcast ever.
Yeah,
because we, no matter what people say, we came to introduce ourselves to people this way. We are a podcast that is first about Florida politics and second probably about Disney. So it's the perfect intersection of politics and Disney, Adam Babington.
How many people, like when people would ask us what outlet we were with and we would say Florida politics, they kind of didn't know the site, but they're like, oh, you're with Adam. And it was almost reverential, not to blow up his head too much, but being Adam's people definitely opened the doors for us.
Yeah, we definitely stuck out like a sore thumb from the fan sites. There was a lot of...
Ryan from IMDb.com. That's still my favorite guy.
Listen, there were a lot of YouTubers and a lot of Disney fan sites there too.
Wasn't that interesting?
It was really interesting to see the mix of media. It was not traditional media. It was a lot more... online media presences or just YouTubers, Instagrammers,
people with 30
bloggers.
Million followers, as opposed to
I kept joking and saying, when are we going to find the Donnellys? Ella's favorite YouTube family. It's the Donnellys.
Oh my God.
I know. But they do a lot of Disney cruises and stuff and they vlog about it. And so
speaking of
it
Ella
been
Joyce,
a perfect venue.
She did. Okay. So,
I did go home.
You did go home Tuesday night.
I ran right out as soon as the Adam Babington interview was done. I ran right out of the Grand Floridian lobby to my car and drove straight to Ella's school for open house because I couldn't miss open house. I wouldn't let myself miss it. And
I was a horrible parent and did miss it.
No, I told you to stay. You had to work. You had to represent. And I didn't want to disrespect Disney and the opportunity they had given us. You were prepared to come home if I'd asked you to.
Of course.
But I was not going to ask you to. But I then sent a request to Peter because having seen Galaxy's Edge and Ella had been talking nonstop about how much all she wanted me to find out about for her was the droids, how you can make your own droid.
She loves BB-8.
She loves BB-8. She loves robots. And so when I saw what it was like at Droid Alley, I said, hey, Peter, do you think maybe you could ask them if I can bring Ella back with me tomorrow to the dedication ceremony?
And how would you describe Droid Alley? It's basically...
Oh, no, this is how Adam described it. He said it's like Build-A-Bear on steroids.
Right.
And Build-A-Bear is Ella's favorite place in the world. And it really is like Build-A-Bear on steroids. It was the coolest experience. Disney did agree to let Ella come. They were so gracious and kind. So Ella was really excited to wake up early in the morning, and mommy drove yet again to Disney World.
Yeah, we got 2 hours more in the park after the dedication. They basically opened the park up.
Just to
the media.
And special guests of the dedication ceremony.
And so, there were even less people than there were during the overall media preview. For whatever reason, people went home, et cetera. And so I said before we had our run of the place, we really had our run of the place the next day because what was funny, remember, we haven't mentioned it, all the merchandise is on sale. So we were just loading up with, pins and t-shirts and things that, you know, as Star Wars and Disney collectors, like I got 20 pins there that I can't.
Well, you
wait
had
to
have the complete set. You had to have the complete set of opening day Star Wars Galaxy's Edge pins or our pin collection would not be complete. And Ella would have been pretty mad at you because we do love to collect Disney pins. We do not trade. Ella is not a pin trader. We are pin collectors, which is a different species.
All right. So let's land the Millennium Falcon here. What was your favorite part of that day of the Galaxy's Edge experience?
For me, it really was building a droid with Ella. We built two. You can build a BB-8. So you can build a, well, not a BB-8. You can build a B series, which is shaped like BB-8. Or you can build an R series, which is shaped like R2-D2. So we built one of each. Ella built the B series. I was supposed to build the R series, but I went ahead and let her do it herself. And it was just really cool.
It was the first pink droid.
It was the first pink droid built in Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World. They were all really excited. And Ella was over the moon to be the first at something there. And they all told her, this is the first pink droid. We can't believe we're having a pink one. So she was really excited to have that moment. And for me, it was just really fun to see her looking at the diagrams and what parts she needed and grabbing her parts. And it was cool to watch her interacting with the cast members who were helping her build. And they had a really cool, like, electronic screwdriver.
It looks like an auto plant. I mean, it looks like a droid factory.
Yeah, there's conveyor belts.
Conveyor belts and droids going, moving around the top and things like that. I mean, there's a grain, again, it was so immersive, but it really felt like a droid factory.
And you got to pick out a personality for your droid.
Yes.
So it was $99 to build a droid. The personality is extra, but there's three different personalities, categories. There's a First Order, a Resistance, and then there's a Scoundrel. And the Scoundrel has no allegiances. And then there's three different personalities within each of those categories. So there's 9 personalities to choose from. Ella did end up choosing, thankfully, 2 Resistance personalities, because if she had chosen a Resistance and a First Order, our droids would be fighting nonstop.
And not to rain on the parade of Galaxy's Edge, but that is probably one of, I don't want to say it's one of the downsides. It is one of the things that's going to throttle, I think, the park. A couple of these things are expensive. Like, Galaxy's Edge is not an add-on. A lot of people have asked that, if you have to pay more to get in there. No, it is part of Hollywood Studio. But, you know, making a droid, doing other things is an expensive add-on.
Well, and they do accept your frequent traveler card, which is what the citizens of Batuu call your annual pass holder discount for the droid. So you do get the discount for making your droid. But yes, it is an expensive add-on. But a cool thing about the droids are it enhances your experience in the park, because as you're carrying your droid around or wearing them on your chest or back, as we were in special backpacks that you can also buy, they interact with each other and they respond to the characters that are coming by. So if you happen to have a first order personality in your droid and you get to the Resistance camp, your droid is going to go crazy.
Well, that's why you need, and this is my favorite part of the Galaxy's Edge, maybe other than the food and the drink, you need a lightsaber. And there is a great it's not make your own lightsaber experience, because it's different than the droid. It is as if you have discovered a kind of a secret resistance underground.
You're not allowed to say the word lightsaber.
Right,
it's not a hunk of metal.
And you get to go in there. And the story of how lightsabers come to be is told, and it's a limited amount of people that can be in there at one time. It's a real experience about how you put in the is it Kember crystals? I'm going to totally butcher
that. The crystal. You guys know what we're talking about if you're Star Wars fans. The crystal that
you can build a different, there's 4 different kinds with multiple variations, and you end up with a gorgeous lightsaber. And at the end of it.
And you guys will be surprised to know that Ella chose the purple crystal. We let Ella make the lightsaber. And it really wasn't about making the lightsaber. You're right, babe. It was really all about the experience. It was...
You did feel like you were... It's not in a movie set. You felt like you were...
You were part of the Resistance.
Part of the Resistance.
You understood the gravity of your mission. You understood...
Right. There's going to be a lot of kids. A lot
you
of
got pulled to find the force within you. It was, and Master Yoda even gives you words of wisdom before you leave.
There are going to be kids that see December 20th when Rise of Skywalker comes out, and you know, and all of the things that are going on with Disney Plus and The Mandalorian and all that, and it's just you're going to be part of an experience that goes beyond any single park, any single movie. That's what's amazing about all of this is that there are going to be people. I mean, you know that cruise is going to be booked nonstop for years. I mean, it's just going
to
be.
It is. I can't wait to see how it all comes together and see them realize this incredible vision that they have for the Halcyon Star Cruisers.
So this was an incredible experience for us.
Yes. And remember, I'm not even a big Star Wars fan. I'm not a Star Wars fan.
You say that.
But I am now.
But you are now.
I am now. So hopefully we'll see you guys in Galaxy's Edge sometime.
May the spire keep you.